everyone. So today I'm going to talk about a niche topic, and that's British expats living in Japan. What is the main mistakes I see them make with their financial planning? And a lot of these things aren't just about financial planning. They're also impacts on people's social life, their emotional health, and so on. Now, number one, I would say, is just spending too much money. Now, Japan has a reputation as a very expensive place. It's not completely undeserved, but the budget element does exist in Japan, unlike in some Scandinavian countries, where people get into a keeping up with the Jones mentality, and ultimately that really is a huge effect on people's spending power. Or let's say their power to actually invest and compound their wealth. Now, number two is marriage. Now, if you think about it, Japan isn't a very international place. Even Tokyo is not an international city in the way that London and New York is. So what happens is that a lot of foreigners, and let's face it, some of them, especially if it's their first time outside of their own country, they maybe feel vulnerable, they maybe go to expat events, and that's fine, but then they'll meet certain people, and often they'll settle for somebody who they would never settled for if they could speak more Japanese. And what that also causes, especially for male expats, is it can cause a lot of people losing a lot of money, because number one, they're more likely to divorce, and number two, culturally speaking, a lot of women actually, you know, deal with the finances, the purse strings, and so on. And if she isn't a wealth advisor or a financial planner, it's very unlikely she's going to know the best ways of doing that. And it's a numbers game, right? If you marry to a, say, let's say a Japanese person, and she's just putting the money in the bank because she thinks it's safer, and the money's worth $500,000 and it's not growing at all, versus 10% compounded, which is the average rate of the stock market, that's, you know, 50,000 in year one. And then of course, because of compounding, you can work out that over a period of 20 years, that could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, you're eventually losing just from, you know, being married to somebody who is bringing Japanese level of conservatism to the investment process. And then of course, so if you do get divorced, you're going to lose half of your wealth. Okay, then number three is the tax situation. Now, most foreigners assume it's better to have a full-time job, and it's also better to be a company employee. But in Japan, you have to realize that after your expat contract comes to an end, the difference between the tax rates on a company employee and somebody who has their own business or is a freelancer is huge. So a company employee can pay 40% tax or more, whereas somebody who is a freelancer can often pay 22% or sometimes less by collecting the receipt, which they call ryoshosho, and using this against your tax rebate. Now, if you think about it, let's say you come to Japan on a really big expat contract, which is the equivalent of, let's say, $300,000 a year, you know, net or gross, should we say. Now, let's say you're paying 40% on that. That's $120,000 off that. That means you are making $180,000 net, right? Now, let's say you become a freelancer and you, in the first year, are making less. So you're making $250,000. But from that, you're only paying maybe $50,000 in tax, because it's a lower tax rate. You're already making more money, $20,000 more in this case, because of the lower tax rate. Now, of course, I'm not saying everyone should become a freelancer. Everyone should start their own consultancy firm or do something like that after, you know, running the or being on an expat contract. But you have to remember that being a freelancer in Japan is much more tax advantageous compared to running your own business or being on an expat package. So you should not just think about how secure something is, but look at the whole picture. For a lot of people, they're a lot wealthier when they are a freelancer. Another example would be, I know a few recruiters in Tokyo and other people who they've started their own business, but what they forget is this: when they are working as a freelancer for, say, a recruitment firm or a financial advisory firm or a consultancy firm, if they're a freelancer, they can pay 20 to 22% tax. But as soon as they become the owner of the company, often that doubles. So it isn't always more profitable to run your own business in Japan, and the government makes your life quite difficult as well. Okay, now number five would also be focusing on local market investments. Now, a lot of people think, well, I'm living in Japan, so even if I'm British or American, that means I should have a lot of my wealth in the Japanese stock market, the Nikkei. But The fact of the matter is the Japanese market is one of the few markets which has stagnated over the years. Japan has a declining population and so on, and even though the market has recovered quite a lot the last 10 years, I'd say there's no reason, just because you're living in Japan, to have loads of assets in the local stock market. Number six, especially for British people, is consider your pension situation. Now, if you work for many years in the UK before, you probably accumulated pensions back home. Now, depending on your situation and what kind of pension you have and what kind of terms and conditions it has, you may be able to transfer that overseas when you are living overseas. In some cases, this can save you a small fortune in tax, but in some cases it isn't advantageous. But you should get proper advice on that, and I'd be happy to help anyone who has a British pension discuss options. As a generalization, although this is just a general rule, if you work for the public sector, including say a teacher, you can't any longer transfer it overseas, and if the pension is too small, it just isn't worth transferring it. So let's say it's only worth £30,000 or £40,000. It isn't worth transferring it usually, but if your pension is bigger, especially if it's above £1 million and therefore above the lifetime allowance, it is advantageous to actually transfer it. Okay, everyone, I hope that's useful, and I'm happy to answer any questions.